everybody today? Great. All right, that was good. Nobody ever answers. I always say that, and they all sit there and go, and you hear kind of this, and I go, how is everyone today? And then, you know, sort of they pick up. All right, I promise I'm not going to yell at y'all. I'm going to try not to. But you know how it is when as they used to tell us in the church, the old apostolics used to tell us that, you know, why is everybody so noisy when they're in church? And they said, well, because nobody was quiet when they were on fire. That's what they used to tell us. All right. I was standing there during worship, and God always winds up speaking to me when we're in there. And what kind of he said to me, I guess sort of ties into the message, unless I start and he changes it, which happens, is that, you know, I'm so tired of people telling the people of God what they cannot have. Okay? I don't do that. You can have whatever God wants you to have. Okay? What God wants you to have is not necessarily all bound up in all the rules that y'all got to follow in all these places. I was saved, and then I wound up in a church where I had a skirt down to the floor and hair to here and no makeup because I thought that I had to have the Spirit there, and I was mean as sin. I was the meanest person you ever met in your entire life because that's what I thought holiness meant, because that's what they told me holiness meant. I had to sit there and be a snot. And nobody, I couldn't figure out why nobody wanted to get saved when I talked to them. I couldn't figure out how come nobody wanted to hear about this Spirit, this thing that makes me holler, that I went to church and I could do this with the best of them in these shoes. I could stand there and I could do it. Nobody wanted to hear about it because I was nasty. Because I still had a feeling that I needed to have in my life. I still had something that needed to come into me and take residence, and that was the fullness of the Spirit. Because we can all do this, and I can do this with the best of them, and I could stand there at worship and throw myself on the altar and be thinking to myself, she better not come over here and talk to me. And I was good at that. I'd just be there and, you know, praise his holy name. And I was so proud to be in only church in Oneonta, New York, that used Hill songs in the late 90s when we still had to get the CDs imported. I was just so proud to be there and like this. And I'm going, don't you dare come over here when it's time. When they say, oh, turn to somebody and give them a handshake or hug. Don't you dare come over here. Because I still hadn't had the Holy Ghost since we believed. I still hadn't had that experience where God comes to live inside of all of us. And then we reach that point where we are so full that something's got to come out. I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians. I'm not going to read all the passages I put in my notes. I promise I'm not going to because I had like five and I said that's too many. But what the Holy Ghost wants to do, or Holy Spirit, you know, I still got this southern thing going on. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same being. Actually, if we do the etymology, it's actually female. I'm still going to say him out of habit, but I'm working on it. But the Spirit, if we look at the word ruach, is female. And pneuma is actually neuter, but it's associated with female terminology. So, got all the expressions in the word. But you can have the Spirit. I don't care who told you what. I don't care who made up what. I don't care who told you whatever nonsense they told you. They were wrong. Thus, by your tradition, you have made null and void the word of God. And we're going to look at that today because you can receive the Holy Spirit and you can speak in tongues. And you do not have to get up here and show off to everybody and throw yourself up on the altar thing and scream and shout and make sure everybody knows you, because the Spirit can live in you. And if maybe you don't have that evidence, there is some other gift that the Spirit has put in you that you can offer and give to the church. Sometimes I think we get so hung up on tongues we forget there are other gifts. I think there are at count 17. If we go through all of them where they're mentioned and they talk about it, there's like 17. So we can have the Spirit living in us. and it's going to make us something other than what we started out. 2 Corinthians is where I'm going to start, then we're going to go to Acts. I'm starting in verse 7 of chapter 2 Corinthians 4. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. What does the Spirit do? Well, let's understand what the Spirit does and let's kind of understand this concept. We are beings, and the Spirit comes to fill all our empty places. Over 20 years in 12-step. And what do we learn in 12-step? We learn that there are things in our lives that cause us to be empty that we try to fill. That we try to fill ourselves, and we go looking for what's going to fill us or what we think is going to come and is going to fill what's empty within us. And why do we become empty? Because we live in this world, and because stuff happens, and because people take pieces of us our entire lives. It's a part of living in a world where we are interconnected and people are still sinful. And sometimes we even do stuff to ourselves that we shouldn't do that puts us in different places. People don't understand. They don't care. They don't listen. They don't bring us to where we need to be. They don't empower us. And they take those little pieces. And they take those little pieces. And they take those little pieces. Until we find ourselves in this huge empty place. But what we learn is that the Spirit inhabits this emptiness. The Spirit comes to live within this emptiness that we have and these emptinesses that we carry, because that's what's going to fill us. And it's been that way since the beginning. If we go back to creation, what happened at creation? It says that the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit hovered over the waters. The Spirit hovers in those dark, empty places where we don't have an answer, where we don't know what we're going to find, where we find ourselves form, where we find ourselves without the proper form, void, empty, and looking. And there the Spirit comes in to prove that the power is of God, not of us. And it's been the same since the beginning. And then what happened is then we see the baptism of Jesus. And he goes down in the water. And then the Spirit hovers. And we hear God say, "This is my Son. Follow him." And what happens on Pentecost? Peter gets up and he says, "Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It's been the same from the beginning, that we find that void, we find that place, we find that representation of death, we find that representation of emptiness, and then we get pulled up. And that the Spirit comes and fills and lives in us. In Acts 19, which we're not going to read, which is actually where I got my passage from to start, but we're going to go to Acts 2. What happened there is that there were several believers who believed, but they had not experienced the baptism of the Spirit. They had not received that indwelling. They had not come to that point. They had received John's baptism, which was fine and sufficient. But they still needed that filling. Why? Because when we get into the Spirit and we get into the work and we get into what we are called to do, that indwelling, that purpose is to empower us to speak. And it's so that we speak what's true. Whether it's what's true about ourselves, which is a really good start, whether it's what's true about faith, whether it's what's true about the gospel, the truth sets us free. We are empowered by the Spirit in order to speak, in order to proclaim the gospel, in order to tell what God has done in us. In Acts 2, we're going to start in verse 1. I'm reading from the New International. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now let's talk about Pentecost. I don't know how many people really study the Hebrew festivals anymore, but Pentecost was an in-between holiday. It was in between two others, and it was there as a part of first fruits, kind of at the end of that, and it was representative of the grain harvest, and so it represents a harvest, but it represents that in-between place that we're talking about, that place where we have something, but we have not yet received it. We're bringing it, and we're offering, and that's what God asks of us. He asks us to bring ourselves and offer ourselves as broken and as lost and as seeking as we are in order to go to that place where he can fill us. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And so that whole house represents us too. It represents that empty space. It represents the need to be filled. Just like we're talking about the bird coming in here today and going back and forth. And we all know that the Holy Spirit's represented by a bird. Because they come and they go as they please, and they take residence up, and they sit up, and they kind of perch and watch, and they move with the wind. And so just like that place, that wind kind of comes in here and kind of comes through there and goes through the whole house. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. So let's talk a little bit about this. Everybody talks about being filled with the Spirit, and we've all been on Facebook. And y'all get that one? The Holy Spirit does not exist so we can feel good about ourselves. It does not exist to pat us on the back. It does not exist for our self-esteem. It does not exist so we can get our light bill paid. And we all see those people, oh, Lord, I'm believing for you to pay my light bill. And they will spit, and they will sweat, and they will shout, and they will run in circles. Honey, all you got to go do is pay your bill. They're making us look stupid. Or these people who they're believing God to do this, so they're going to get filled with the Spirit, and they're talking in tongues on Facebook Live. For nothing. So their car will start. Go put gas in it. I remember when I lived in Kentucky, I had a neighbor who had children, and the van would come up and would pick him up. And, you know, it's July in Kentucky, so, you know, it was hot. And he had on a wool sweater and a long sleeve shirt under that and a tie. And I wanted to go out so bad on the windshield and do this and go, sweetheart, you don't look holy, you look hot. You don't look spirit-filled. People are looking at you going, why in the world do you look like that? All these exteriors and all these things that we've attached stuff to is not what the Spirit is for, because the Spirit cannot live in us if we don't open ourselves up to do it. And if we're expecting money and houses and cars and light bills from the Spirit, we are not going to get it. God has something so much better to give to us. The key point here, as we look, who was at Pentecost? It says all. So who had the gift of the Spirit? Just the men? Just the 12? All. As my friend in Australia who's going to watch this is going to watch, all means all. What does all mean? It means all. And she's going to love I mentioned her. All. And so they were all together in one place. So let's talk about that clue. I was sitting here looking at this little thing you got a bait in your floor. The Hebrew letter, which means house. All the letters mean different things, and I know nobody did that on purpose. Bait, house, we come together in this place. We come together in this house. We come together expecting and believing that God can do what God wants to do, and we are open to that because we are empty. We have to empty ourselves of some stuff if we want to get full. We have to empty ourselves if we want to get free. We have to empty ourselves of everything that we hold on to that is not where God would have us. We have to uphold and God and let go of every lie and everything that we tell ourselves and everything we try to convince ourselves, even from the best and holiest of people. We got to cast that off. And they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews, I'm in verse 5, from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one had heard them speaking in his own language. Everybody argues about tongues. Were they speaking the real languages? Were they speaking the heavenly languages? Were they speaking this? Were they speaking that? This is what I always say about that. I think that both happened. I believe that they spoke the language of heaven because we wouldn't need interpretation if it was just an ordinary language. You could bring an interpreter in. You don't need the Spirit for that. If I'm in a meeting and somebody starts speaking French, I'm going to tell you what they're saying. Or if we're in another country and they start speaking English, we're going to know what they're saying. We're going to be down with it. We're going to know what they're saying because anybody can learn a language and interpret it. But the fact that this was divine, the fact that God did this, tells me that they spoke in the language of heaven and it was heard in their own language. And so God did both. And that's two gifts there, what we call tongues and what we call interpretation of tongues. And there's another example of interpretation of tongues that we'll get to in a minute. But that when people have a public gift, so like if I got up here and I started talking in tongues, I ought to have an interpreter. Either I interpret it or somebody else does it. Now, if y'all have the gift where you're sitting and you're just praying quietly, y'all can say whatever you want. And we don't need an interpretation because that is you praying in the utterance of the Spirit in intercession. And that means you are praying for something that I don't even know what it is. We don't even know what it is. It might have nothing to do with none of us. It could be something, though, that comes through and that's conveyed somewhere else. And we don't ever know what we're praying for. But intercession is another issue that we're not going to get into a whole lot today. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? And that was a slur. In other words, they were saying that they were stupid. Because when you were from Galilee, you had a certain district and you weren't real bougie and educated as you were if you lived up in Jerusalem. And so when you were in that Galilean, and every one of us in this room knows what it's like to be slurred. We know when somebody's saying something and you know they're throwing shade. That's exactly what they were doing here, is they were throwing shade. They were saying, well, are all these not men who are Galileans? So then how do each of us hears them in his own language? Parthians, Medes, and a bunch of other people, it doesn't matter. And they were basically from everywhere. That's the point. And amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. I don't know about any of y'all. I mean, I've been around alcoholics and drunk people my whole life. I never met anybody that started speaking in a whole other language when they were drunk. You know, I remember a couple times my father came home and he certainly did not speak in another tongue. He would barely speak in English by that point in time and get ready to go pass out. But that's what happens, that the world doesn't understand what we've been filled with. That we've been filled with something that is so otherworldly and that is so misunderstood that we don't, nobody understands it. And you know what? They still don't. They still say we're crazy. They still say we lost our minds. And it's just because we got empty enough to get filled up. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. All right, I'm stopping there because Peter then gets up and gives a long discourse on what happened. And Peter gives interpretation. Now, that is not something that we ever hear about when you ever hear teaching on tongues. I will never forget the day that I had that revelation. I went and I came and told you. And I said, Peter got up and he interpreted. He was so full that he recognized that there needed to be an explanation for what happened. And why Peter? Well, this is why I say Peter, because Peter was the only one who had an experience where he went down and he came back up again with the Lord. And that was when he walked on water. What happened? He sunk, he went down, and he got pulled up. And so he had a revelation that the rest of them did not have. I will never forget when I first thought about that. I was in a conference in Georgia, which was a nightmare. And it was a total nightmare, and it's not the one that you're thinking of. It was another one. And I was there, and they're all sitting around after the conference going, well, you know what we'd say if somebody came and told us that they walked on water. We'd say, oh, that's the devil. And I sat there because I just wanted to go home. I had been up for it was a 36-hour trip, and I had already been up for 20 hours. And I just wanted to go back to my room and go to bed and get up at 4 in the morning and go home. And I'm sitting there, and I said, well, I wouldn't. I'd want to know what happened. And all night long, they tried. The woman would not let it go. She just had to explain it away and away and away. And I said to her, that's because you don't understand the spirit and the power thereof. Because anytime something like that happens or somebody says it happened, whether or not it's real, we need to hear them out. And why do we think that things like this can't happen now? Why have we reduced our faith to money and cars and houses and stuff and all these things when God wants to come and fill us, and that's so much better? It's so much better. Think about it, that you are speaking in tongues. You are speaking a language of heaven. Not earth, not Krypton, not Klinger. I was trying to think of what that one was called. You know, not all these other things, but heaven. The whole concept, even if you don't experience tongues per se, that you can sit there or stand there and that you can say something and God gave it to you. That we can prophesy. That we can speak something that is from heaven, that is so much cooler than my car. That is so much cooler than anything that we have, and that we aren't looking for this because we keep holding on to the material. Why? Because they're empty. And they're hoping that if they believe in God for their stuff, that that'll fill them up. If they can say God gave them that house, if they say God gave them that car, that if that's what happens, then they'll be full. And what's happened is they're not. So what happened here? Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say, and let's listen to his interpretation. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. I've known some people drunk at 9 in the morning. No. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, now let's start there. Last days does not mean what everybody tells you it means now. Everybody thinks it means you ought to go read the headlines and watch people who can recite Bible verses all together real fast and they don't know what they're talking about. And that, you know, that it's this big, huge void of suction that is just going to come and suck the brains out of everybody. That is not what the last days means. The last days prophecy is the time between Jesus' ascension and the time when Jesus returns. And that is the last days. In other words, it is a period of time. And we don't know how long it is. Do not ask. I do not know. I do not have the first clue how long it is. But what it says is, yes, I have no idea. However long it's going to take Jesus to get back is when he's going to get back. And that's what I tell people. They ask me all the time, when's Jesus coming back? I said, when he gets here. Amen. Because we don't know. So this is not a passage about paranoia. This is not to make us afraid. This is to make us full. This is to tell us that between now and then, we're going to get what we need because we can get filled up. And what happens in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on
all.
How many?
All.
church is not just for the people that we make it about it being for. It is not just about for who we all heard it was for when we were younger. Anybody, whosoever, all, whosoever wants it can have it. Whosoever is ready for it can have it. Whosoever needs it, it's there. I will pour out my spirit on all people. If that ain't enough to get excited at church, and you know, I went to church for years because we heard it so much, and what would we do? Amen. Amen. Come on, all people, you, me, everybody. Whoever wants to be a whosoever can have it. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. So that's another biblical code for all. It includes all. Amen. Everybody. That's all. They will prophesy. And if the last days is from now until then, that means it's all still happening. I got into an argument with somebody who started with me about being an apostle. And I said, how do you know what God did within me? And then I said to him, you know, I got into a whole lot of technicality, but I said, and you know what? What you're doing is just as absurd to me as what you think I am. All people, we still can prophesy. It's not arrogant. It's not conceited. It's not grandiose. God still has something to say now. And it says in this day, and that this would happen. It doesn't say until we had the Bible. It doesn't say until we went to the wrong church. It doesn't say until everybody decided that they didn't want to be Christian anymore. It doesn't say until we had a state church. It doesn't say until we got into the religious right. It says all time until Jesus returns. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And once again, that is not an exclusive reference. That is stating young and old. Everybody will have it. Because there was the concept that young people couldn't see things and old men couldn't have a vision. Even on my servants, both men and women. Everybody again. Everybody can be a servant. You know, you get those people that wear like a badge, but I'm just a servant. Well, good for you. That and a dollar will get you on a bus. And that's the principle, is that we are supposed to stop embodying these things in arrogance, because the Spirit comes to fill us. We are all called to be servants. And so both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Now, why did I mention all that stuff? Because we talk about tongues, and he's saying that this is that prophecy, but that's the beginning of that prophecy. That, in other words, all this other stuff is going to come down because of that experience, because of that filling, because of that filling within the Spirit, because of what the Spirit wants to do within us. We shall speak in other languages. We shall prophesy. We shall be servants. We shall not see any demoralizing about that. It's the world that tells us it's not all right to be a servant. It's not God. If you look at history and you do the history behind servants, they were considered very prized and very, very essential people within society. They taught children and they led households and they did an awful lot of stuff. It certainly does not have the connotation we have today. You got somebody, oh yeah, I'm in food service. Oh. Oh, but we go, oh, I'm a lawyer. Oh, right, they're just lying and stealing from everybody. And I'm sure that there are good lawyers out there. That was not a slur on all lawyers. But it is the point that we definitely, oh, I'm a waiter. Oh. I can be really honest in talking about stuff that I work out, because you know what? I'm still not all the way comfortable in my own skin. I'm still learning. I'm still being filled. I'm still having the Spirit work in all the little different crevices in my life. That, you know what? People ask me what I do. Sometimes I don't know what to say. I hate that conversation. I'm a minister. Oh. like you're a woman. Last time I checked. Oh, well, like, do you like preaching stuff? Yeah, I like preaching stuff. Well, isn't that not allowed? And I said, who told you it wasn't allowed? Just like who said you can't walk on water? Who said you can't speak in tongues? Who said we can't have the Spirit today? Who said you can't prophesy? Who said you can't? Because God didn't say you can't. Well, like, do you have a church? Do you, like, have a church? And then they say, well, I'm an apostle. And they say, well, where's your church? And I said, I guess you don't know what apostle means. It's not Latin. And I tell people, it is not Latin for motivational speaker. It is not Latin for life coach. It's not Latin, period, actually. It is Greek. And it's all Greek to some of them. Verse 19, I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone, this is the important part, and who?
Everyone.
All. Everyone. Who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone, and Peter goes on, and we're not going to read the whole passage because it's really long. What he basically does is he recounts salvation history, and he defends the resurrection. And I think that that's important because what did they do with Jesus? They put him in a tomb. They put him in an empty space, and then he rose up again. That he had to be in that place. The Spirit had to be present there to raise up. The Spirit had to be there to fill that place to bring him up to where he needed to be. And that is today why we can stand here and we can say that the Spirit can fill us. We're going to go to verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, and here we go, going down and coming up again. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. And so that's the point, is that if we are in this, and if we are saved, and if we are whosoever, and if we are at a point where we are hearing, the promise is still for us. It's still for us all these generations down the line. It's still for us as we stand here in this place today, as we stand here in this house, as we stand in here with our little bird flying around, as we stand in here, it does not matter the vessel. It matters that God comes to dwell therein. And we need to learn more and delve into this place, into this positioning, into this thing, because if we don't receive the filling, in some sense, and as I say, tongues is one of them. The reason why we often talk about that most visibly is because it's visible and because we can speak. It's something that can happen, and it says that all received it on Pentecost. So that's why it's something that most probably do experience at some point in time. But not everybody necessarily does. You can have a word of knowledge. You can have a word of wisdom. You can have some other gift that's not trendy and not popular and does not get you on TBN that is just, if not so, more important for the church and where we are today. You can have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. You can experience healing. You can have a gift of teaching. You can have a gift of prophesying. There are so many things that God gives to us because we all need each other. We all need the gifts. We all need to come together with this filling. And what does the Bible tell us about confessing our faults? That's confessing so that we can make that empty place. People say confession is good for the soul. Well, we have to have that within us. We need to have that freedom to be able to say what's there so that all that stuff that we're filled with that's holding us back, that's keeping us from being filled, gets out of the way so we can be empty, so we can be that earthen vessel, so that this excellency can point that this is of God and not of us. And all of us have looked for it in the wrong place. Whether we looked for it in relationships, whether we looked for it in a bottle, whether we looked for it in a needle, whether we looked for it in a pill, whether we looked for it in the acceptance of the churches we went to. Do you know how many years I wasn't honest about who I was as a person because I knew what would happen? I've said allies come out too. Feminists come out too. There's still a whole lot of backlash about that, that I couldn't get up somewhere and feel comfortable talking about what I did, how many people are there and talking about things in the background, and I'm hearing them and I'm going, why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here? Until I'm on the phone one day with somebody I don't want to talk to who's annoying me, and I'm mad because God doesn't get me off the phone, and there goes the spirit. I'm telling him, he's telling me if I hear him sing that I'll fall out speaking in tongues, and it didn't happen. And he's annoying me, and I want to get off the phone, and I don't know why God doesn't send an earthquake or something. And I'm mad at God. I am mad that God left me on that phone. And God says to me, I'm teaching you how to be all things to all people. And then I was really mad at God. Then I really didn't want to be full of nothing because it doesn't always feel like we want. It doesn't always feel like we're seeking, because when we're used to being filled up with all the wrong things, when we start to get really filled up in the spirit, sometimes it hurts. And it hurts because we have to face that the people who said they loved us really didn't mean it. They love the idea of us. They love the concept of us becoming what they were, but they didn't become the love that does not fail. They didn't make that point to be so spirit-filled that what comes out of us is literally love. Whenever we execute these gifts, it's about love. It's about what God has to give us in love. It's about the word that God has to bring forth for us. Because I tell you what, you want to stir up stuff online, the most radical thing you can still tell people is that God loves them. And God loves us so much that he sent this spirit to rest in us and to fill up every dark place and to fill up every crevice and to fill up every place we have while we're left empty, because we got to get rid of some of those things and those people and that stuff that's really not there for us. And it still hurts sometimes. Sometimes it takes a long time for it not. People think that Jesus is the healer and that means that we just waltz in and we're just perfect. And we don't have any problems. And we don't have any feelings about what happened. You know what? Some of it is always going to feel some kind of way to us. But that doesn't mean that with Jesus that we can't overcome it. And that when that spirit lives within us, we live to testify. We live to say that I lived through that abuse. I lived through someone coming home beating me every day. I lived through that empty bottle. I lived through those pills. I lived through every overdose. I lived through every lie that everybody told me about who I was. And Jesus just says, you want it? Come and have it.